Well, thanks for joining us for our Christmas Eve service. And as we get started here, we've been lighting our Advent candle each and every week, building up towards Christmas. And tonight, we light our last Advent candle. And I've been told that I should have replaced some of these candles because they're getting low. So we'll see how long I talk tonight, right? We've been lighting all four of these, working our way up, and then we get to tonight's candle, which is the center one, is called the Christ candle, symbolizing light and the importance of that in our lives, that's symbolized in our relationship with Jesus. And I want to turn to John chapter 1. Actually, I want to start in verse 1, but the main part is in verses 4 to 5, and this is what it says. John's narrative is a little bit different than the other Gospels, and he says this about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So with that in mind, I believe we have... I think it's important that we read from Luke. It's a passage I know in our family we've read every year around Christmas time, especially as our kids were growing up. And this is Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. And it begins in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. He says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to a firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch of their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." I know it's Christmas Eve, and some of you already ate, you're already in that carb coma, right? Or cookie coma, sugar. I don't want to keep you too long. I know pastors will say that, and you're like, people are already starting to look at their watches, but just want to share tonight, this phrase kind of came up to me, thinking about just so much things going on with Christmas, and this fits in a lot of different ways. You know, a lot of you ladies, moms, you're planning everything. I know, like, my wife planned everything, and I'm just as surprised as the kids, like, with gifts and everything going on, because they'll ask, Dad, what are we doing? I'm like, I don't know, ask Mom, you know? But you ever get so busy doing stuff, and you're just going, 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 and all of a sudden you realize something just a little too late, and it hits you. It's like, oh, I can't believe I forgot that. Or any number of different situations. And I came across some examples of that, and just wanted to share some of that with you tonight, just to kind of get things started, some things that I think were funny. Some of these were not from my generation. Some of these are from younger generations. I didn't get. Anybody have that? Some stuff with millennials and younger that you read at my age and older, and you're like, what is that? What does that mean? Anybody else feel that way a little bit? So I came across some things that some people realized a little too late that I thought think would be a little interesting. Let me get to my back to my list here. This person put something they realized a little too late. They said, I was really annoying and persistent as a child. My parents used to tell me that I couldn't accompany them out to dinner because children aren't allowed in restaurants. Anybody ever hear that? Fast forward 20 years later, and my girlfriend and I are out to eat when a child runs by being a little rambunctious, and I say, remember when children weren't allowed in restaurants? No, it's not true. Another one that somebody had a definite Catholic background, and they thought that they went to Catholic school, and pretty much all the other kids went to public school, and they thought that there was just two religions in the world, Catholic and public. Quite interesting. This person put, this is probably not a good sense of their intelligence, I don't know why, but whenever someone mentioned that a piece of furniture was walnut, I thought they meant the nut and shells were all crushed up and smothered and smoothed out somehow, and I wondered, how did they do all of that? Then in my 30s, I realized they probably made it from the tree. Yeah, sometimes you feel like a nut. Fruit Loops. Anybody like Fruit Loops? Big on Fruit Loops. The Fruit Loops are all the same flavor. I was 27, and I still remember the shock of finding out Toucan Sam had been lying to me my whole life. Now, I don't understand that one. You'd think they would know the difference, but haven't you always wondered why they're different colors? Yeah? Anybody have a favorite color of Fruit Loop? Anybody? The red dye, right? This person was 21 or 22 when they discovered that ponies are not juvenile horses growing up. And if you still believe that, I'm sorry. Okay? Another one, let's see here. Some of these are really embarrassing. Oh, this person, they didn't realize that narwhals were real. I generally thought they were a myth until I saw them on a David Attenborough documentary. My mind was blown. I don't know what to say. I'm just reading stuff, okay? Oh, this person put, I think they're a little bit younger, that once you own a home, you still pay lots of taxes. I always figured that if I bought my place, I would be free, it would be free living for the rest of my life. So obviously, they're still renting. Let's see here, a couple more. This person, this is really weird. I said to a friend, you've got some food on your nose. And the person replied, which nose? He always thought that you had a left and right nose rather than nostrils. Obviously, they didn't do well in health class. This person thought reindeer, we're going back to the narwhals here. This person thought that reindeer were mythical creatures like unicorns that help Santa at Christmas. This person wrote, I didn't realize until I was 18. My mom took me to see real reindeer that Christmas, and my mind was blown. Yes. This person put, I learned what marital status was when I was about 18. For some reason, I always read it as martial status, as in martial arts. I took karate when I was younger, so in my first few job applications, I wrote yellow belt instead of single. Yeah. Yellow belt instead of single. Yep. And that's why you can realize some things a little too late, and it can be bad for you and not turn out so well. So, with that in mind, getting a little bit more serious, and this is just from my heart, because on, you know, Christmas time period, Christmas Eve, you know, family and friends get together, and there's so much stuff with Christmas. I just, from my heart, want to share just some basic things about Christ that I think are important, the good news, and why this message is important. Because when it comes to God and serious things like this, there are some things you can realize too late. And it was humbling for me. Those of you know with my work with the hospital and stuff, this is a tough time of year for some people for different reasons, especially if you've lost a loved one. And there's just no words for it, you know, you're feeling it. And to be at the hospital and be with a patient that we just lost here recently just came right back. The neat thing about it was, though, this lady had a deep faith in God, which I always say makes my job easier. And surrounded by family, she went home to be with the Lord. And she didn't realize that too late. She made that decision much earlier in life. So again, what I share here just comes from my heart, not to put pressure on anybody, but just to mention something that I think it's important when it comes to God. And there are some things you can realize too late. And I just want to say this. Some people will miss out on a relationship with Jesus. Some will. I've been asked that as a pastor. Have you ever been with people that, you know, close to the end of life and they didn't know him? I said, there's been a few times. I wasn't sure. I don't know. Only God knows really what's in our heart, right? But as a reality, and the Gospels lay this out, is that some people just won't believe. And I have conversations with people about it. And I'm not here to twist your arm or anything. It's just, it's a choice. And what's interesting is, and what I read earlier in John 1, verse 11, it says that people did not receive him. And actually what's interesting is, as you read that, and the context of it as John writes it, is the people who did not receive him initially were his own people that had all this information that we call the Bible written down, all this prophecy, very specific information about where this Messiah would be born, hundreds and hundreds of years ahead of time, and different reasons why they missed it, probably more so because of who and what they were looking for, not really what God was doing. And this Jesus guy comes along and he offers himself, and they ultimately reject him and put him on a cross. And that's why John starts out and writes it this way, is that he came to that which was own, but they didn't receive him. They didn't accept him. Just emphasizes that some people will miss out on that relationship with Jesus. And that weighs on me. And I believe this is probably true. Most of the reasons that people won't have that relationship, it's self-inflicted, meaning it's just choices. Just choices. We can get wrapped up in lots of different things in this world. There's a lot of neat things in this world that we can do and be involved in and believe in, but I think there's the main thing. And in the midst of that, it's not that we don't get to do fun things. I hear this sometimes, like, Christians don't have any fun. It's like, I don't know. I have lots of fun. Lots of fun. But it's, it has more meaning and purpose because I know who it's connected to. And so I see around me a lot of different reasons why people choose not to believe. They chase different things. And again, they're just going to miss out. What are some reasons you've heard that people don't believe? And I've got some. I'm actually, this is kind of interesting. In the last 2 weeks, all my Facebook friends, you know, not everybody on Facebook's your friend, right? Okay? I get this sometimes because some people get so offended on Facebook and then they unfriend them. It's like being back in middle school. You know what I mean? But I'm intentionally friends on Facebook with people that I went to high school with that I know are atheist, practicing homosexuals, lesbians, and other people, because I'm not trying to throw anything at them. I just want to know that I'm around and available, and I don't post a lot of stuff to try to inundate them with what I think is truth, but I read what they post, and it's interesting, some of the reasons why they post why they don't believe in Jesus. I find it fascinating. I also find it sad from my perspective, because there's probably different reasons why they got to that place. And then at the end of it, I have a sadness in my heart, because I'm wondering, will they miss out? Will they miss out? And that bugs me. And so then people on that list, if they listen to this message, you're actually on my prayer list then. That somehow, some way, whatever it takes, you'll at least take that first step of recognizing how important this relationship with them is, no matter how tough it is. So again, with that, because some people miss out, because he's either the real deal for people or a great big lie, right? It's one or the other. Jesus is either 100% real and it all happened and all this connects and makes sense, or it's just the biggest lie that had ever been pulled over humanity and throughout the entire planet for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Think about that. How many lies have been this big that have lasted this long? Do you know of any? None. And so it's either the real thing or a great big lie. And I really think that's why John wrote this the way he did versus the other gospels, okay? Because it says in John chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "Yet to all who received him," okay? And we read those words, this literally means to accept this as the truth in the Greek, which is eyewitness truth, okay? So let's say I'm driving with my wife and we get in a car accident, a fender bender or something, and we see it, and the person who's involved that we bump into sees it, and several other people see it, and everybody's like, well, yeah, everybody saw it, so this has to be what? The truth. Here's what's interesting. John's writing this as what? Eyewitness truth. And he's saying it in the same way, as if you and I witness something with our own eyes, then we would expect everybody else to believe us, right? And that's why he's saying this and writing it this way. He's like, look, this is the truth. I'm an eyewitness and I can testify this. In fact, so much so that this would stand in a court of law. It would legally be something that you'd have to pay attention to. You could not refute in any way, shape, or form. And he's saying, he is the real deal. This is not something that's made up. And that's why he says, yet to all who received him as the truth, undoubtedly. And the tense of this is interesting. It's not just something that is an idea or something, but the tense of it is what you and I might call in our culture as a defining moment. That at some point, the light goes on in your mind. Is it's not just an idea or a myth or something that somebody made up, but all of a sudden, ding, 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 this is not only truth for other people, but it becomes a truth for me. And now, if it's a truth for you, what do you have to do with it? You have to do something with it. And you have to make something of that and take that next step that's connected to it. And so what that defining moment is you're either going to believe and really receive it as the truth, even though it might be difficult in some ways, or you're just going to say, no, forget it, and I'm going to move on. And that brings us to our third thing. So you will either end up choosing to believe or not. And this is what I think about every Christmas. I know Christmas has got lots of lights, lots of different activities. You got Advent scenes and you have family gatherings and Christmas presents, which all you kids are looking forward to, right? Christmas presents, right? And lots of candy. Eat lots of candy, right? Pace yourself. Remember my rule. If you have a cookie, you have one at a time. And you don't count the time in between, okay? So when it comes to your belief, is you're either going to choose to believe or you're not. And what's interesting is John chapter 1 verse 12 says this, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And I like the way he writes this because he's very specific. This is what he means. This is a belief that begins at some point in your life. Remember the defining moment? I'm accepting this idea of truth of who God is and that he actually sent his son. Here's my defining moment. Now I'm going to take that step of faith. But every day afterwards, I'm going to continue to grow in that and figure out what that means. And some people see that as, well, then I have to give up a bunch of things. Some things you might have to give up. But there's a ton of things that you're going to receive and see as a benefit from because you'll realize that your life in God is a million times better than a life without God. And so you begin at that moment, you continue to grow, and then is what's interesting is, as John writes this, is that the right you have, is this was written in such a way as if it's a document and legally binding. How many of you who are married here tonight remember getting married and your person who officiated your wedding? We have some here married not long ago back here. And legally in the state of Ohio, I'm one of those along with John and so forth, that can legally do a wedding. And it's legal when, John? When we, who signs their name there at the bottom? An ordained minister? Okay, but whose names are above that? The man and the woman. And once that document's signed and it's sent off in the mail, and it's, I think, is what, 30 days or something we have? So make sure that was in the mail, right? That's in the mail, right? We're good, okay? And now it's legally binding, and it's at the courthouse, and it's going to be there forever, 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 forever. And that's how this is written. As it says in the text, as John writes, is that once you choose to believe, and you're going to grow in that belief, and you're going to mess up and fail, but it's legally in print, it's binding for the rest of your life, and no one can take that right from you as a child of God. No matter how good you're doing or bad, no one can take away that position and place in God's family any more from you. And you and I don't deserve it or earn it. God just gives it because God is that way. And that's why he sent his son, so that you and I could be legally considered part of his family. Some of you know this story, but our oldest son, Mac, who's in Virginia, but he'll be here with his kids and family in a few days. That took a lot of meaning for me when we brought him into our family, and I had to go to court and in front of a judge sign paperwork to legally make him my son. My other kids, we just went to the hospital and they just handed him over, like, here you go, go, you know? But this was a 15 going on 16-year-old young man who nobody wanted him. And so we adopted him into the family. And it's really interesting because that's how John writes this, is that we had no right to be in the family, but he brought us in, and he signed on the dotted line that you are a child of God because you believe. So, here's the deal. God still has good news of great joy that's still available to anyone that believes. Okay? So why wait? So if you're a person sitting here and you're like, well, this doesn't apply to me because I've already done that. Great. Maybe just spend some time talking to God, being grateful and being reassured that nobody's going to take away your son or daughter status because Scripture says that. But if you're at a place you aren't sure, you know what? You don't have to go to church a gazillion times to get yourself in a place in God's family. You don't have to do a bunch of things, as some churches like to tell you, to get into God's family. You just have to say, Lord, I believe. I'm ready to start to figure this out, and I'm not going to be perfect about it, but I'm ready to start this journey. And so my hope and prayer for you is, no matter where you are, is that you will not sit and wait and realize something too late. Because time is one of those things that we're all limited with. And I hope you enjoy your time with your family. I really do. Tonight, days ahead, through this new year that we have. But just realize that God's always waiting, and he wants us to be in his family, and he wants to enjoy this relationship here and now with us each and every day that we have. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've had here tonight. Thank you for the simple truths in your word. And really, there's no pressure from you about us making that choice and living in it each and every day. But I just pray for all of us here tonight that we would either reaffirm our faith in you and continue to grow in that or take that first step. And whatever that is for us, that next step on that journey, that you would give us the courage to do so and bring people around us to love us and support us and pray for us and help us as we continue to grow in our faith. And thank you for sending your son so that we might know you and have this relationship here and now in this world as we live, but for eternity. And we just thank you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.